Good morning. Last week we studied chapter 30, Mizmor Shir Chanukat Habayit LeDavid, and there was a great deal that we had to say about that Mizmor Shir Chanukat Habayit LeDavid. We described that chapter in Tehillim as expressing the vulnerability of man, that man simply does not know from one minute to the next what is in store for him. And this is something that is extremely troubling, and God knows man's fear because of his invulnerability. Ani omarti b'shalvi, when everything was going well, I thought, Bal emot la'olam, I will never be moved. It's going to be like this all the time. Life is going to be a bowl of cherries every day. It's going to be terrific. And then Hashem b'ritzoncha, God, as you wished, hemadet tolahad elios, you gave me great strength. But then there are always the moments of histarto fonecha. I'm just going over a few of the thoughts. Histarto fonecha, you concealed your face from me, and hayiti nifhal, and I trembled, I was full of fear. Man never knows what's going to happen. And everybody has been through it in life. Everything is going well, and then all of a sudden, illness, death, economic disaster, all of these things that change people's lives and turn everything topsy-turvy. And we said that that was the significance, as the Rav explained, that Yom HaKippurim is called a day like Purim. Can you imagine? The most serious day in the Jewish calendar is like Purim. And the Rav said, because there's something that happens on both of them that really brings to the fore what really troubles man, whether we think about it consciously or not. It's always there in the subconscious, and that is that things can change in a single instant of time. And that's the whole story of Megillat Esther. Those who are up are down, those who are down are up. Vashti is queen, Vashti is hung. Haman is nothing, Haman rises to great power. Mordechai is despised, Mordechai now takes over. I mean, there are all sorts of things happening. The Jewish people are destined to be destroyed on one single solitary day, and then comes the moment of salvation. Megillat Esther is the Megillah of Hester, of God's concealing his face. And as the Pasuk in Tehillim says, Histarto fonecho, you concealed your face, hayiti nivhal, I trembled. And then, but on the other hand, at the end he says, Hofachto misbedi, you can turn things over the other way. You turn the eulogy and the sadness and turn it rimacholi, it becomes a time of dancing. Pitachto saki, you've removed my sackcloth, batazreini simcha, and you've girded me full of joy. And therefore I sing to you. So what being described here is the essential nature of the human condition. And it's because God knows that this is the human condition, therefore he is merciful. He knows man's fears. He knows what man is frightened of. He knows what troubles him. He knows what goes on in the consciousness and the mind of man. He knows our weakness. And the weakness is the result of our human condition. And therefore he is quick to listen to our prayers. What we left from last week was, well, now we have to get back to the first chapter, the first pasuk in this chapter, Mizmor Shir Chanukat Habayit LeDavid. And the question was, what does all of this have to do with Chanukat Habayit, the dedication of a house, or the dedication of a Bet HaMikdash? In what way is this related to Chanukat Habayit? And we also pointed out that over the years, certainly the last 200 years, there have been all sorts of Bible critics who say that there's something wrong with it. There are those who erase this who erased this sentence from the beginning of the Mizmor, because it couldn't have been David. There was no what Chanukat HaBayit did David participate in? The Bet HaMikdash had been built by Shlomo HaMelech. So what way is he part of Chanukat HaBayit? How could there have been a Mizmor Shir Chanukat HaBayit LeDavid? So first of all, in keeping with what we said, as the Rav tells us that the two main sacrifices during the course of the year on Yom Kippur are the two goats, the Yom HaKippurim, and lots are drawn, just as Haman drew lots and he decided, well, now he's going to destroy the Jewish people, so too here are these two goats that are absolutely similar, and they stand in front of the Kohen Gadol, and he, with putting his hand into a box and taking out a lot, is going to decide the fate of these two goats. The service in the Beit HaMikdash is accepted before God precisely because he knows that we see life at times as nothing more than Godal fate. There's some kind of a wheel of fortune that becomes a wheel of misfortune, and here we are the sort of the victims who are battered by the vicissitudes of time. You get up in the morning and you know, you expect a normal day, and then two planes go into the World Trade Center, and then thousands upon thousands of lives are shattered in one single instant in time. This is historical Hanecha. So if so, Mizmor, I would say that Mizmor Shir Chanukah Chavayis David, that David wrote this so that in the Bet HaMikdash that his in the Bet HaMikdash that is going to be built by his son, this fear of man is going to find a place where it's understood, and that men will be able to find a degree of solace, comfort, or stability in life by virtue of the relationship with God that comes through the Bet HaMikdash. The Bet HaMikdash and the Chanukat HaBayit and the relationship with a Rabbein Shlalim who understands what it is that goes through the consciousness of man. This Bet HaMikdash is there in order to, in a sense, allay the fears of man and have him understand that he can enter into a relationship with God, and that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is something we call it bitachon, but what it really means is that this is something that can stand man in very, very good stead at the moment of crisis. One is never going to be able to bring up the wellsprings of faith and trust in God at the moment of tragedy. You have to develop it well in advance and then call upon those reservoirs of strength. The Bet HaMikdash was destined to be a place that would give these reservoirs of strength to men. But we were also in the middle last week of reading the story. I'm going to pick up where we were, give a quick outline, and we have another few psukim to go. Here in Divrei Hayomim is a story of a plague that came upon the Jewish people in the days of King David. And then when it's all over, he is standing near the Temple Mount and he sees an angel of heaven above the mountain with his sword unsheathed. And he goes up to the mountain and he's going to purchase the mountain from a Yevusi called Arnon HaYevusi. He's going to purchase the mountain. We were in the middle of that purchase. So on the first side over here, Pasuk Chav Bet 22. Pasuk 22. Vayomer David el Arnon, and David said to Arnon, Tnoli Mekom HaGod, and give me the place of the silo, Ve'evnebo Mizbeach Lashem, and I will build an altar to God, Bekesef Mole Tenehuli. I want to pay in full. Ve'teotzer HaMagefa Me'al Ha'am, and the plague will stop from upon the people. Vayoma Arnon and David. Arnon said to David, Karakloch, take it to you. Vyas Adoni Amela Hatov Bienov, let my master the king do that which is good in his eyes. They, not only can you have the mountain and you can have the silo, I've given you the cattle for sacrifices, v'hamorgim le'etzim, the implements of farming, you can break them up so that they should be wood for fire, v'hachitim, and the grain can be for the mincha, hakol natati, everything. V'yomer hamelech, David l'Arnon, King David said to Arnon, lo, no, I don't want to take anything from you. Ki kono ekne b'kesef mole, I'm going to buy it and pay in full. Ki lo esu asher l'cho l'Hashem v'ha'alot olachinam. I'm not going to take that which is yours for God and bring the olot for nothing. V'yiten David l'Arnon b'makom. On the spot, David gave to Arnon, or b'makom meaning for the place, Shiklei Zahav Mishkal Sheish Meot, 600 shekels of gold. Vayiven Shom, listen to this pasuk. Vayiven Shom David Mizbeach Hashem, David built an altar to God. Vayao, on the Temple Mount he built a Mizbeach and he brought sacrifices of Ola and Shlomim. Vayikrael Hashem, and he called to God. Vayanehu Ve'esh Min Hashamayim, and God answered him in fire. Al Mizbeach HaOla, you understand, fire came down for David onto that Mizbeach. So first of all, you should know already, this is already the establishment of the Beit HaMikdash. So anybody who's going to say there was no Hanukkah Habayit in the days of David simply doesn't know a chapter in Tanakh. What is a Hanukkah Habayit? A dedication of the Beit HaMikdash is when God's presence is there, as the fire comes down from heaven. This is Hashras HaShchinah. Here the divine presence has come down. Vayomer Hashem l'Malach, remember, the whole time that this is taking place, the angel is above the mountain and his sword is outstretched to strike the Jewish people. Vayomer Hashem l'Malach, and God said to the angel, Vayoshav Charbo El Nidana. He returned the sword to its sheath. No more sword outstretched over Yerushalayim. Ba'et ha'hi, at that time, b'ra'ot David, when David saw ki ano Hashem, that God answered him, b'goron Arnon ha'yevusi, the silo of Arnon the Yevusi, ba'yizbach sham, and he sacrificed there. U'mishkan na'wa, we're not even finished yet. U'mishkan Hashem Hashem, also Moshe b'midbar, the mishkan that Moshe had made in the desert, and the mizbach ha'olah be'et ha'hi, and the altar were on the Bama in Gibeon. They were in Gibeon. V'lo yachol David lelechet l'fon of lidrosh elukim ki niv'at mitei cherev malach Hashem. And David was not able to go there because he was trembling now from the experience that he had with the angel of God who was above the Temple Mount. Vayomer David. Vayomer David. David said, Zehu Beit Hashem Elokim. This place is the house of the God of Vizem Mizbach La'ola LeYisrael, and this is the altar for an Ola to Yisrael. David has not established the foundations of the Beit HaMikdash, of course. The rest of the chapter, we don't have to read it, but the rest of the chapter, you trust me. You have, I was going to say faith, no, never have faith in the human being. You trust me. That David tells Shlomo he will not be able to build the permanent structure because of the fact that he had waged so many wars, and you're going to build it, Shlomo? But I'm going to prepare all of the materials, not only all of the materials. He hired the artisans, he hired the people who are going to work, they brought in foreign labor, of din zarim, they brought into the country, because they wanted to get the best people for the job. It means really that David here has established the foundations of the Beit HaMikdash. Now, let me take you one step further. When David sees the Malach standing above the Har HaBayit with his sword in his hand, is that not a dramatic description of the vulnerability of man? at any moment the Malach can strike. And what is his response to man's vulnerability? He lays the foundations for a Bet Hashem. Mizmor Shir, Chanukat Habayit LeDavid. David, at that moment, he sang Mizmor Shir, Chanukat Habayit LeDavid. He sang because now the angel has returned the sword to its sheath. Returned it. It means the fear. Hishtaka ponecha, you had concealed yourself, and a plague came upon the Jewish people. Thousands died. But then hafachto mispidi lemachali, you turned it all into a day of joy. The vulnerability of man. David's response is laying the foundations for the Beit HaMikdash. What more beautiful mizmor could he have written than Mizmor Shir Chanukat Habayit LeDavid? Next. And most probably with this we will end chapter 30. The Malbim, I just want to read a few lines in the Malbim to you. The Malbim obviously was troubled by this Shir Chanukat Habayit, so the Malbim says the following. Hamizmor kulo yusad lateh hoda'a b'chaloto v'yichim yichoyo. Anybody who reads this chapter sees that it seems quite clearly to be something that was written by a person who was ill, and he was ill and then he was healed from his illness. Didn't we say Hashem Elokai, God my God, Shivati Elecha, I cried out unto you, Vatir Pa'eni, and you healed me. It would seem that the whole chapter is by somebody who was ill and now has been healed. It doesn't say anything in this whole chapter about a dedication of a house. It seems clearly somebody who was ill and now is healed. So why does it say Mizmor Shir Chanukat Habayit LeDavid Umevuor? So listen, what a unique approach he takes. His approach is Shahabayit Hamuzkarpo Hu Abayit Hamishli. The house that he's talking about is a bayit that is a mashal. It's a metaphor. A metaphor. Does the word bayit always mean a house of bricks and mortar and elevators and floors? Give me an example. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, you're talking about a bayit halumi? Or ve'ele shemot b'nei Yisrael avoy mitzrayma eit Yaakov ish u'beito v'au. What does bayit mean there? Does bayit mean that he took apart the bricks, you understand, and he schlepped his ranch house, you understand, he schlepped it from Eretz Canaan to Mitzrayim. He took his bayit. So it means his wife. Right. The important thing is that the word bayit does not have to mean a building of bricks. So, Beit Yaakov, right, Beit Yaakov. Just that we learned this part together, Beit Yaakov does not mean Beit Yaakov l'chu v'neilcha b'or Hashem, let us go in the light of God. The word bayit doesn't always mean a house of bricks and stone and steel. A bayit also is a metaphor for well, yes, Beitozu Ishto, man's wife. And here he says that the human body is a bayit. In what respect is the human body a bayit? Because it houses the neshama. There is a guf, and who dwells in that guf? The neshama that God sends down from on high. Ubayit lahaodam hapnimi hashochin v'dor b'kirbo. The human being, the human body, is a dwelling place for everything that man's feelings, his emotions, his consciousness. There are so many things that go on within this magnificent bayit, this mechanism called a human being. Ki ha-nefesh hu ha-adam b'emet, the real human being is the inner soul. V'haguf hachomri, the physical body, is only the bayit that houses the nefesh. Kol yemei hayotah b'mitzudah, all the days that this soul is going to be in the fortress called the human body. Ve'ev cholor, and when a person gets sick, ozrofufu amudei habayit, metaphorically it's though as though the beams or the supports of the house have become weakened. And then after he is healed, it's as though the bayit has been rebuilt and dedicated. So therefore he says, the chapter is talking about somebody, it may have been David, who was ill, and then he became well. And it means now that his body, house, bayit, is rebuilt and it's strengthened all over again. The important thing being the following. We don't erase the sentence that says Mizmor Shir Chanukah Habayit LeDavid. If you want to go into a chapter, you can always see that there was meaning and there was significance to this heading. It's not simply, you know, it's oversimplifying it by saying, oh, this was a dedication of a Beit HaMikdash. David didn't dedicate a Beit HaMikdash, so therefore erase the sentence, it doesn't belong here. That's superficial, that somebody simply doesn't begin to understand what's happening. Chapter 29. One chapter back. Mizmor LeDavid, a song unto David. Havu LaHashem B'nei Elin. Now, Havu LaHashem Kavod V'Oz. This chapter is said Friday night, after the six chapters from Lechuna Ranana and further, we come to Mizmor LeDavid, Havu LaHashem B'nei Elin. It's also said when the Sefer Torah is put on Shabbos, when it's put back into the Aron Kodesh, that's only those bars will be sung. That's it. Okay, and you're going to see, I think, three or four different approaches as to what's happening over here. What's it talking about? Mizmor LeDavid. So first, we have to read it. Mizmor LeDavid, a song unto David. Havu LaHashem, bring before God B'nei Elim, the sons of the mighty ones. What does that mean? Who are the mighty ones? Who are the sons of the mighty ones? Bring what? So the word of, who said that? Why is somebody afraid to admit that they said it? And that's one shot. The Elim are the mighty ones. You know what? I'll tell you now as many of the pshatim as I remember. Elim means mighty ones, strong ones, or strength, might. El, Elohim, is might, strength. Micha mocha, who is like you, bar Elim Hashem, amongst the mighty ones. So the mighty one can mean the angels. B'nei Elim are the angels on high. B'nei Elim means the Jewish people, the sons of the mighty ones, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The Mitzvah David says, B'nei Elim, Heim HaMalachim, the angels. Rashi says, you know, Rashi doesn't say anything, he says it later on. Atem B'nei Eile Ha'adetz, you, the Jewish people, the sons of the mighty ones of the earth, because the mighty ones are the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Alright? The Malbim, I believe, also says, the Malbim has a completely different shot. And it may be worthwhile to start with the Malbim, and then we will be able to go to the others. Elim are the mighty, powerful forces of nature. You know what's going to be described in this chapter? A storm, a tempest, a hurricane, an earthquake, the mighty forces of nature erupting in all their fury. Now, the forces of nature are, of course, the handmaidens of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. you read the chapter, it's talking about the mighty forces of nature. That's according to the Maharal. According to the other Pshatim, it's also using the forces of nature to describe how God acts in history. It may be the forces of nature or God's anger unleashed against the evil. But let's read the text and then we'll see something is happening over here. The Maharal says that this was written at a time that there was a storm in the Middle East, a storm that shook the entire Middle East, except for Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael was spared. The cedars of Lebanon were being torn out of the ground. Can you imagine? You know, I mean, we've seen pictures of hurricane something or other, Hurricane Chaim. I don't like the fact that they use women's names for hurricanes. Hurricane Chaim is coming in from the Caribbean into Florida, and everything about that, you see the pictures what are those trees we have over here, the palm trees? The palm trees push it shaking and being torn out of the ground. That's the description that you can have over here in this chapter. Mamish nature in all its awesome fury. And this of course represents Elei. The Elim are the mighty, powerful manifestations of nature. And these manifestations are going to be used in other ways or in metaphorical ways against the evil until ultimately God will reign supreme. You have to understand that despite all of the storm, despite all of the terrible things, the last pasuk of this chapter is going to be Hashem Oz La'amo Yikain Hashem Yivareich Et Amo V'Shalom. Throughout all of this tempestuous period, God gives strength to His people and He is going to bless them with peace. The Maharal sees this as we are a little island of tranquility in a world surrounding us that has gone mad. Now you can understand it in a number of ways. You can understand it metaphorically as Izdoch HaMishugin of Eld, and we have a sufficient number of Mishugum of our own over here, but in the final analysis we're not altogether a stupid people. Some of our people are pretty stupid, and the ones who are stupid are very, very stupid. But despite it all, we remain an island of justice in a turbulent sea of injustice that surrounds us. I once used that in a Hebrew drasha in shul. I thundered, that's a good word to use in this context, I thundered about we are an e shel tzedek betoch yam so'er shel e tzedek. You got that one? We are an e meaning an island of justice, and then the word e meaning none, e tzedek. We are an e of tzedek in a turbulent sea of tzedek. But I like that line. I'm waiting another 20 years till my guys in shul forget it so I can use it again. And that's what the end of the pasuk, the end of the chapter is going to talk about. The pasuk before the end, Hashem lamabu yoshav vayeshev Hashem melech la'olam. Here was a world that was ready to be flooded like the marble, but God returns and He sits and He becomes Melech Olam, the King of the world. And how does He become King of the world? Who's the agent that's going to bring that message to our whole world? That's Hashem Oz L'amo Yitain. God will give strength to His people. Hashem Yivareich Et Amo V'Shalom. God will bless His people. When there will be Shalom here, then there will be Shalom in the rest of the world. As long as there's no Shalom here, there will not be Shalom in the rest of the world. Okay. Now, let's read. This is said very often. There are other occasions. This Mizmor LeDavid. Havu Hashem b'nei Elim. Render or bring before God, you sons of the mighty. So the sons of the mighty, we've already said three pshatim now. The angels in heaven, And those who learn that it means the angels of heaven, it means something that we say a number of times in davening every day. When it comes to praising God, it's us and the angels, or the angels and us. For example, in Ashkenaz it's very clear, when you come to Kedusha it says, Nekadesh, we will sanctify your name in the world, Kishem Shemagdishim Oto, the way they sanctify it, Yishmei Maro. You understand? We're doing you, angels, and us. You in heaven above, and us down below over here. And then we say that the angels in heaven say, Kadosh, 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 Hashem, Svako, Malo, Chol Haaretz, Kavodo, and L'umatam, we say, Baruch. What do we say over there, you know, brother? Okay. No, it's the two of us. It's the mighty ones in heaven and the mighty ones on earth. They praise God, we praise God. Or, remember, as the Malbim said, the Elei Haaretz, they represent God. That's the mighty forces of nature. Havel Hashem, you know what you should bring before God? What should you talk about? You should talk about Kavod, the honor, the glory of God, Va'oz, and His might. In the storm, you see the might of God. Havel Hashem, bring before God, or make known, Kavod, Shemot, the honor of His name. The Malbim says that as the storm began to come toward Yerushalayim, toward Eretz Yisrael, as it reaches the borders of Eretz Yisrael, all around, it subsides, it diminishes, ki'ilu, as though nature is bowing down before the glory of His holiness. We cannot enter the provinces of God. Like nature is bending before God, Bahadrat Kodesh, in the glory of holiness. But what's going on out there around us? Kol Hashem al Amayim. You can hear the voice of God over the waters. Can you imagine the tidal waves, the waters are making noise. And you know what happens when there's a tidal wave? It's Kel HaKavod, the might of God, the honor of God, Hid'im, is thundering. And then the Hid'im can also mean that in addition to the rushing flood and the cacophony, good word, the noise of the waters, and here's also the thunder of God. Hashem Almayim Rabin, God is the one who stands over the mighty waters. The waters are beginning to rise. The storm is becoming even more powerful. Kol Hashem, the voice of God is Bakoach, the might of the storm. Kol Hashem Bahodo, the might, the sound of God is majestically over this manifestation of nature. And you know what it can do? Kol Hashem Shovir Arozim, the voice of God destroys, breaks the cedars of Lebanon, by Yishaber Hashem, and God indeed broke at Arzei HaLevanon, the great mighty trees of Lebanon. Vayakirev, and you know what? You see, during the storm, you see all of these mighty trees, or it can be cars, you know, flying around like little toys. Vayakirev, He made them dance around Kamo Egel, like a dancing calf, trees and cars and homes and roofs flying through the air. Levanon, Levanon the Syrian. Levanon is, you see, these are the borders. Levanon is Lebanon. Syrian, of course, is the Hermon. Kimo ben re'emim, like ben re'emim they're not sure what animal re'emim is. It could be a buffalo, it could be a wild deer. And ben re'emim, how those jump around, and here you see that Lebanon and Syria are just shaking. Kol Hashem, the voice of God as it appears through nature, Chotzev, cuts through with lahavot eish, with flames of fire. Kol Hashem Yochil Midbar, the voice of God causes the desert. The mountain is talking about the storm started in the Sahara, and all it causes the midbar, the desert, to tremble. Yachil Hashem, God causes to tremble midbar Kadesh, the desert of Kadesh. Now I want to point out, at the same time, you should note that the approach of Rashi and the Medrash and Chazal, their approach is that this description of nature in all of its might and its majesty is the description of God as he begins to arrive at Sinai. And if you take a look, Matan Torah, because there are different descriptions in the Nevi'im of Matan Torah, and in a sense that at Matan Torah, as God descends from the very heavens, a whole world shakes and trembles. It could also be Kriyat Yamsuf. What do we say at the end of Oz Yashir? Oz Nivhalu Alufei Edom Eile Moav Yochazei Morad Tipol Aleihem Emozom Avar. There's a description in Oz Yashir of all of nature shaking throughout the world. Everybody trembles before him. Here's the great storm. So you see already the various approaches that we're taking. It could be the description of Kriyat Yamsuf, it could be a description of Matan Torah, and of course David is using it, he may very well be using it to describe a storm that took place in his day, but the important thing is, it's the might of God. It can also be describing the wrath of God that's going to be poured out against the enemies of Israel at the end of history. Yoel describes it as Dam Va'esh V'Timrot Hashem, blood and fire and pillars of smoke, a world in upheaval. Kol Hashem Yecholel Ayalot. We're still talking about the mighty forces of God, his voice, and his voice, you hear all the sounds of nature. Yecholel Ayalot, it causes the Ayalot, the rams, to tremble. Vayachesof Ya'arot. Yechesof Ya'arot, you know what Yechesof Ya'arot is? You ever take a piece of wood and you peel off the outer layer? So what do you have? You know, a brown bark of a tree. You peel off the bark, and then you have the white inside of the tree. Yechesof Ya'arot, the power of God is like it comes across a forest and it just peels off the bark. All of a sudden all the trees look white. All gone. The mighty force of God. You know where you have it in Torah? When Yaakov makes his deal with Laban. That all of the, the brown, the speckled, the colored are mine. He took pieces of wood. Vayachasof halavan. He peeled it off, and now it's a different color, and that he put there for the sheep to see. And you know what? I should have kept up the noise going until all of this. All the noise is swirling all around. Ubehechalo, and in his holy place, Kulo Omer Tavod, is all the dignity and the honor of Silas. So according to the Malbim, it means there are storms that are ravaging all of the lands around, but Eretz Yisrael, shashtil. Eretz Yisrael, quiet. All around Yerushalayim, storm. Yerushalayim, shashtil. So it's going to be, if we say that it's talking about the longer view of history, there may be turmoil in a whole world, and then silence, blessed silence, is going to descend on Yerushalayim, and from here it's going to go outward. And how will this happen? Hashem Lamabul Yoshav, God will turn back from the destruction of Mabul, Vayeshev Hashem Melech Lolam, and God sits on his throne as a king forever. Who makes him a king? Who maintained him as a king throughout all of history? Us.
and therefore Hashem owes me our Yitain. God will give strength to his people. Hashem Yivarecha Tamo Vashalom. Alright, I have over here the Medrash on this chapter in Tehillim. Now I'm not going to start in order. I want you to take a look in the left hand column, Tavshin Yud Aleph. We're most probably going to do the entire Medrash on this chapter. Godol Hashalom, an amazing Medrash. Peace is great. Sheshina Shechina Mipnei Hashalom, the Divine Presence changed something because of peace. Sheneemar Vani Zakanti. You remember when Sarah said, how will I have a child? My master is old. So when God told this to Avram, he didn't say that Sarah said, you're old. He changed it. In other words, you can even say a white lie for the sake of Shalom. Because the Rebbe himself said a shtickle lie. God la Shalom, Sheshina Shechina Mipnei Hashalom, Sheshina Aniza Kanti. God la Hashalom. Sheshmo nechtov b'kedusha nimcha alamayim b'shvil la'atil shalom bein ish l'ishto. Here we have a collection from all of Shas of all the statements that are said about the greatness of peace. The second statement of our rabbis is that God himself agrees that his name should be erased for the sake of peace. Where is God's name erased for the sake of peace? When a woman who's suspected by her husband of having been unfaithful is brought to the Kohen, so he's supposed to write out the parsha of Sota and put it into the living waters and erase it, and then she's going to drink it. So the purpose over here, God says, let my name be erased in order to bring peace, ben ish li ishto, between man and his wife. Rabbi Eliezer says, God of Hashalom, shalom notu kol hanevi'im b'fi habriot el shalom. Rabbi Eliezer says, greatest peace, because the purpose of all of the words of the Nevi'im, the words of the prophets, was to plant within the mouths of people shalom, the idea of shalom. Now, what we're going to do over here is we're going to take back the word shalom that has been stolen from us by all sorts of people who have no idea what shalom means, and whose shalom is really chas v'shalom, great danger for the Jewish people. And we're going to talk about real shalom. Rabbi Shimon ben Chalapta says, Godol Hashalom, greatest peace, she'en kli mekabel brocha elo Hashalom, she'nema Hashem yivarech et amo Hashalom. The pasuk here in our chapter, there is no vessel that receives blessing. In other words, for God to give us blessing, we have to be ready to receive it. What is it that makes it possible for us to receive? The keli, the vessel in which we can receive all of the blessings of God is shalom. In yesh shalom, yesh hakol. You have everything. Rebbe Lozer HaKapar Omer, God of Hashalom, greatest peace, She'en choten kol habrachot el ha-shalom. The seal, the end of all blessings is shalom. What's the last word that said in Birchat Kohanim in Duchening every day? Shalom. I mean, this is going to be a shtickle medrash that it's kedai, that it will be worthwhile to read it over and review it. She'nema yivarech lecha Hashem yishmerecha ad till you come yotim lecha shalom. That Allah of no omer, God la shalom. Oh, this is an unbelievable statement. Unbelievable statement. And this is a statement that needs a tremendous amount of elaboration, which we most probably won't have the time to do. Rabbi Elazar ben Omer, Rabbi Elazar says, God la shalom shafilu yiskoil ovdim aveda felilim v'sholim v'nein. Do you hear a statement? Even if Jews are idolaters, but there's peace amongst them. They're living in peace with one another. Ein hasatan no geaben. Satan can't touch them. Shenema, pasuk in Hosea, chavur atzabim Afrayim hanaklo. Ephraim is worshipping Atzavim. Atzavim are not a word for deities, but he's Chavur. They are one Chavura. They are all united. There's peace between Jew and fellow Jew. So Hashem says, Hanachlo, leave him be. Don't do anything to him. Even though they are idolaters, but there's peace, Hanachlo, let him be. Abu Mishanech Lekuma Nema, but what does it say when in Masech the Peah that says something of a similar nature, that be made David? In the days of David, Jews went down to battle, and people fell in battle. Be made Achav, in the days of Achav, who was a Melech Rasha. And if you don't know enough about Achav, all you have to know is that his wife was his Ezebel, Ish Ubeito. Hoyu Yordan Lulachama, they would go down to war. Hello, Hoyu Nofim, people didn't fall in battle. You hear what the Talmud Yerushalmi says? And why? She says, because in the days of David, there were people who caused divisions in Klal Yisrael. Doeg Ha'adomi. We learned about it a few weeks ago, that Doeg Ha'adomi was the one who told Shaul that Nov Ir HaKohanim had betrayed Shaul, and Shaul slaughtered the whole city. But in the days of Achav, there were no Jews who betrayed their fellow Jews. So instead, it can be a door, Shalavei Zara, a generation in which they worship idols, but if there is peace between them, God Lashon. Amazing. God Al-Ashallah, listen to each one of these statements, so beautiful. God Al-Ashallah, greatest peace, Shafil, Bishafnu, Komat, Shlif, Shalom. Even at the time of war, you need Shalom. Even at the time of war, Shenema, as it says in Torah, Ki Tikrav Al-Ili, Hilachem Aleha, when you come close to a city to wage war with her, Vikarata Eleha L'Shalom. You have to call, send out a call for peace. Send out a call for peace. By the way, you can do it from your Yerushalayim. You don't have to go to Ramallah to do it. You can send a call right from here. It's a local call. I think it's O2. What's Ramallah? Okay. Where Eshlach, and Moshe Rabbeinu himself says in Sefer Devarim, where Eshlach Malachim min Midbar Kedemot Divrei Shalom, I sent angels from Midbar Kedemot, words of peace. Vayishlach Yiftach, Yiftach sent Malachim. Maxiv, what does it say over there when Yiftach sent Malachim, messengers? Va'ato Hashiva Ten Shalom, reply in peace. Godol Hashalom, wow. Greatest peace, Shafilu Mason, Tzvichim Shalom. Even the dead need peace. Shenema, Za'ato Tavu Alavu Tefo B'Shalom. You will come in peace to your ancestors. God Shalom, Shenitam La'osei Tshuva. Peace is great that it's given to those who do Tshuva. Shenema, Shalom, Shalom, L'Rachot V'Lakarov. Shalom, Shalom, L'Rachot V'Lakarov. The Rachot means... the one who is distant from God, Karov is the one who is close to God. To whom does God say first, Shalom, Shalom? La'rachok, to the one who is distant. And then he says, La'karov. God la'shalom, shenitam b'chelko shel tzadikim. Greatest peace, because it's something that is given as a portion for the righteous. Shenema, yavo shalom yaluchu amishkevotam. Peace will come and they will rest upon their beds in death. God Lashon Shinitam along the Torah, peace is great that it was given to those who study Torah. Shanama, Bechol Banayach, Mumudei Hashem, Verav Shalom Banayach. All of them studying Torah, if they are all studying Torah, then there will be peace in their midst. God Lashon, greatest peace, Shinitam La'ove Torah, that it was given to those who love Torah. Shanama, Shalom Rav La'ohavei Torah Tepa. Peace, great peace to those who love your Torah. God Lashalom Shenitam Anovim, greatest peace that it was given to the meek, the humble. Shenema, Anovim Yishu Oretz Vid Angu Aro Shalom. The meek, the humble, shall inherit the earth, and they shall delight
in the great peace.
Gadol Hashalom Shanita Lozay Tzedakah, those who do charity, Shanema, V'hoya Manasah Tzedakah, charity shall bring Shalom. Gadol Hashalom, greatest peace, Shmo Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nikra Shalom, God's name is Shalom. Shanema V'yikra Lo Hashem Shalom. That's why there are those who say, you know, you shouldn't go into a bathroom with anything that says Shalom on it, because this is a name of God. Right, so I don't have anything that says Shalom. Nobody ever bought me a necklace with Shalom on it, or a bracelet. Don't think of it. Huh? Or a tie clip, right, a tie clip with a name. That's why I don't have one. Gadol Hashalom Shen Shokul Kineged Kol Ma'aseh B'Reishis, greatest peace, because it is the equivalent of all of creation. Shenema Yotzeh Or Uvod Eit Choshech Oseh Shalom. This is a pasuk in Yeshayahu, which we say in davening every morning. But I heard how you all ended it, Yotzeh Or Uvod Eit Choshech Oseh Shalom. Uvoreh Hakol, but that's not what it says in Yeshayahu. In Yeshayahu it says Uvoreh Ra. God also created the opportunity for evil to exist in this world. So you should know, this is one of the reasons. This is one of the reasons why I have. One of many reasons why one is upset that here is a group in this country that have called themselves Machane HaShalom. They have co-opted the name Shalom as though Shalom doesn't mean anything to us. And not only that we are by virtue of the fact that they're Machane Shalom, that we must be the Machane HaMilchama. We know what Shalom is. The only thing is, we know what the Rebbeim wrote about Shalom. We know what Tanakh writes about Shalom. And we know that Yirmiyahu says, Ein Shalom L'Rishaim, there is no peace for the wicked. Shalom, Shalom, Ein Shalom, there are those who speak Shalom, Shalom, and it's not really Shalom that they are bringing to us. So we have to be careful. We love Shalom. And we daven 3 times a day. Baruch Atah Hashem HaMevarech Et Amo Yisrael B'Shalom. Let us brother in Shmoneh Esrei. V'halom Torah V'kal V'chomer U'mah B'makom She'ein Eva V'sina Tzvich in Shalom, Kal V'chomer Mishi Ezbar Kol Amidus Olalu. Creation, heaven and earth are inanimate objects. There is no hatred between heaven and earth. And if heaven and earth, or trees and plants, you know, if they who have no hatred need Shalom, man, where there is a possibility, a very great possibility that there will be hatred, they certainly need Shalom. Rabbi Cheskia says, this is beautiful what Rabbi Cheskia says. God Lashon, greatest peace, Shebechol HaMitzvot K'tiv, by all the mitzvahs it says, Ki Tir'eh, Ki Tivga, Ki Yareh. Ki Tir'eh, when you will see the donkey of your enemy falling. Help. Ki Tivga, when you will meet up with somebody on the road. Ki Yikareh, you're going to walk along and you're going to see a kansipor, a nest of birds. Shaleach v'shalachat ha'eim, send away the mother. V'tabonim tikakla. Imbo mitzvah liyotcha. So what do all these tzukim say? That if a mitzvah happens to you, in other words, you happen to come face to face with the opportunity to do a mitzvah, atosoko klasoto, you should do it. V'im lav. But what happens if you don't meet up with a bird's nest? What happens if you don't see your enemy's animal falling? So you don't have to do it. But over here, by peace, it says, seek it out and pursue it. You have to go after it. Seek it in your own place. And if in order to achieve peace you have to go elsewhere, Rafayu, pursue it to Makom Acher, in a different place. Alright. I will come back. There's still another section here about Shalom, but I want to take you more into the chapter now. Let's go. Let's start Chavtet, up here. It's worthwhile to make our way through it. There's a lot of beautiful thoughts here. Mizmor LeDavid, Havel Hashem b'nei Eilim. Zeh Shohu, Zeh Shama. This is what the pasuk means. The pasuk in Yechezkel, V'hoshati litzoni, I will save my sheep. V'lo tihyena od lavav. They will no longer be looted or robbed. Uma osela shelo yeod lavaz. What is it that's done to her that she will no longer be lavaz? David avdi yir'e ota. My servant David is going to tend to the sheep. V'shenema v'akimoti aleim ro'eh. I will establish upon them a shepherd. What he's really talking about over here is Moshiach, who is Moshiach ben David, is going to be the shepherd of the Jewish people. Amalei, he said to him, David, Ato Moshiach, you will rescue them, Ba'ato Ro'eh, and you are the one who will tend to the flocks, my flocks, the Jewish people, the Chenu Omer. And so it says, Hoshiach Tamecha. It doesn't have the whole passage here. Hoshiach Tamecha Uvarechet Nachalatecha Ure'eim, and tend the flocks, take care of them, V'nas'eim, and lift them on high ad olam. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ani Ma'akev Ota Sha'ata Omer Li Hoshiach Tamecha. The Rambam says, David, you tell me Hoshiach Tamecha, you're telling me save your people. And you know what I'm telling you? Havul Hashem b'nei Eilim. What you should bring is b'nei Eilim. B'neihem shel otam shenishlatu ke'elim. Do you know what you have to present before God? B'nei Eilim. The sons of those who were ready to give their lives. The Kedoshe Elyon of the Jewish people that were ready to give their lives like Eilim. Avram said, Ani shochet, I am ready to slaughter Yitzhak. V'Yitzhak, Amar Yitzhak said, Ani nishchat, I am ready to be slaughtered. So you know what you have to present before God? The schus of the Jewish people. You know what we say before God? We are b'nei Eilim. And here it means, of course, we have translated the word Ayil, Eilim, we have translated as the mighty ones, which can be the angels, the mighty forces of nature. The Medrash is now saying, B'nei Eilim, the sons of the rams, the animal that is brought as a sacrifice. You just tell the Rebbe Shalom. You know what it really means? The Medrash is saying, tell the Rebbe Shalom, Zechor, remember Akedat Yitzchak. Remember Akedat Yitzchak. The sons of those, we are the sons of those who are ready to be slaughtered for God. Dovaraka, another pshat, Chovul Hashem B'nei Eilim. Here's going to be a fourth pshat in the word Eilim. The word Eilim is also similar to the word Ilmim, the Elaine, the one who does not speak, the one who remains silent. Havul Hashem b'nei Eilim, b'nei Ilmim, b'nei Chareshim, b'nim sh'yesh lehem ma'ala ha'shiv la'makom ve'enim ha'shivim. In the communal of things, it means we have what to say. We may have what to complain against God, but we remain silent. And the classic example of one who remained silent when he had so much to say was Avraham Avinu. And here's famous medrash that's brought in a number of ways in different places. V'chein, you'll see, V'chein Yishayahu Omar. Yishayahu said, Mi iver ki him avdi. Who is blind if not my servant? In other words, the servant, so the suffering servant of God, we see things, but we don't complain. V'chein Avram said, after the Akedah, it said, V'yikra Hashem HaMakom Ahu Hashem Yireh, he called the name of that place Hashem Yireh. Ma'u Hashem Yireh, what does Hashem Yireh mean? Amalei, Avram said to the Rebbe Shalom, Re'ei, God, take a look. Hashem Yireh, God, take a look. I had what to say to you. When you told me, take my one and only son and bring him as a sacrifice, I had something to say to you. because you had promised me that Yitzchak is going to be your child that will be the father of the people, and now you tell me to bring him as a sacrifice. You contradicted yourself. That was a good akasha. I had a good thing to say. Take a look at what I could have answered you. I didn't answer. I remained silent. God said to him, what did you have to say? What response did you have? So Avram told him, "Etmol amartali, yesterday you told me ki bi Yitzchak yikar lechazara, v'achshav ata omer li, and now you tell me kachmas bincha, take your one and only son and sacrifice him. Kishem shahoya li lahashivcha, just as I had what to respond, v'lo heshavti, elo hecharashti, I didn't say anything and I remained silent. Kach kishu yavo banai li de avedos, you know what? When my children are going to do avedas, you know what I want? Tiskol hamzu hashor. Remember this moment for them. Remember this moment. There are times you also have to remain silent, and you cannot condemn the Jewish people. Lakach nema. That's why it says over here, Havu Hashem b'nei elam, Havu Hashem kivod shemo. Kishem shama Moshe, Kishem Hashem ekra Havu godol olakim. So Havu Hashem b'nei elam. Just remember, tell God, we're the sons of the mighty ones, we're the sons of Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, we're the sons of Ilnim, the ones who remain silent, we are the sons of the ones who are ready to be sacrificed like lamb. That's what you have to remind the Rabbi Yisrael. You know what's interesting, of course, is now, after it's all over, you know what Avram Avinu just did? He just responded to the Rabbeinu Shlomo. He says, I could have responded, you know, when you tell, when it's all over, he says, I could have responded, and now I'm going to tell you what I could have responded. So he did respond. So this, and the fact is that Avraham Avinu's question was a great question. It was a terrific question. You're going back on your own word. You're contradicting yourself. It's all going to be over for Klal Yisrael. There's no Yitzchak. It's finished. Down comes the curtain. It's all over. So there's the famous word from Reb Chaim Brisker, and with this we will close, and you better bring these back next week. Alright? Reb Chaim Brisker says, Avram Avinu approached the Word of God the way Jews are supposed to approach the Word of God. Halacha. And one of the rules in Halacha is the following. One of the rules in Halacha is you will have at times in Torah shnei ketuvim, two psukim hamakhishim zeh et zeh, that contradict one another. And you don't know what to do. So there's nothing you can do. Ad sheyavo hakatuv hashlishi, until the third pasuk comes, v'yachriya b'neihem, and will decide and explain to us the pshat in the first two. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram, take your one and only son and bring him as a sacrifice, do you know what Avram Avinu's dilemma is? He has shnei ketuvim hamakhishim zeh et zeh, he has two psukim that contradict one another. You told me ki b'Yitzchak yikar lechazara, that Yitzchak is going to be your child, and now you tell me take him as a sacrifice. There's no way that he can learn from this. All he has to do is follow God's, because God's wisdom is beyond mine, and he tells me take him, so I have to take him and sacrifice him. But when the Rebbeinu says stop, don't do it, that's the third command that Avram has. When he has a third command, that means there were two psukim that contradicted one another. Now has come the third that tells me what to do. But I still have a right now to ask, and now I don't understand what it means. Now the halacha tells Avram that he has a right to ask, he has the right to probe. Now it's a matter of learning Torah. Snake to him, I'm a Christian, and when, if Itaki talk starts to storm today, as they say, just remember these psukim over here. Call Hashem Bakar, call Hashem Mayim Dami. Okay. By the way, we're also going to have to understand
why is this red? We have to know why is it red Friday night, and why is it red when the Torah is put back into the ark.
Now, you also have to study for this coming week, you have to study chapter 23, the famous chapter. You did it already for this week? So wait, no, so you're going to have a, I'm going to give you another homework. No, sorry. 27. L'dabar Hashem Ori, 27, magnificent chapter, 27. Do they take me seriously here? Huh? Good.